Okay, welcome back once again to 2S, the Horror Quarters podcast. Yes. And we're welcoming back once again Spawn.
Yes.
And Corey.
Hello.
What up?
How's it going, fellas?
All right. Good, thank you for having me back again. Thank you.
Man, anytime. I know you live kind of a far ways out from here, but anytime, man, we'll make it happen.
Thank you.
Today, specifically, we wanted to cover, since Scream 2022 came out.
Right.
We kind of wanted to go over that whole franchise.
Absolutely.
There's some hatred coming over from...
I don't say hatred. But, you know, I just think, you know, we'll get into it.
But anyways, well, what do you got, man? I mean, tell us your issues with it.
Okay, so, well...
Are we going to
Scream 1.
Okay, yeah, we'll start from the...
We'll go theatrical now. No, I love Scream 1. Scream 1, in my opinion, it's not my favorite Wes Craven movie of all times, but it's his absolute best. I think it's flawless. I love all the characters in it. From start to finish, I have no problem with Scream 1. I just feel that Scream is not a, like Ghostbusters, like Jaws, like Back to the Future. There was another one that we mentioned earlier that didn't need to be a franchise, in my opinion. I think it was a one and done, because every time, you know, I mean, if you're watching this, you're a Scream fan, you know the spoilers. Every time there's a different killer, it just saturates it to me. So that's why, as a franchise, I like all five of them, but I think that, you know, it didn't need to become a franchise. With that being said, when I saw Scream, it gave me life and hope, because the early 90s, because in the 80s, it was all horror for me. And then the early 90s, it was such a dry and abysmal time for horror, because you had, like we talked about the previous episode, Leatherface was a bomb. Then you got in 91, you had Freddy's Dead, Last Nightmare or whatever. That was garbage. Then you had Jason Goes to Hell, dog shit. You know what I'm saying? So it was like very dry. There was slim pickings in the 90s for quality horror. You know, you had Silence of the Lambs, you had Candyman, People Under the Stairs, here, there. But when Scream came out, dude, it was on, and it gave me hope again and breathed life. And I remember, like, my ex-girlfriend at the time, she wasn't a horror fan, but she got some of the questions in the opening scene. And after that, we went to Hollywood Video. We grabbed all the Halloweens. We grabbed all the Friday the 13th. Okay. It just gave life to the horror genre. And I was just, it's just a perfect, like I said earlier, Wes Craven's perfect movie. I don't see any flaws in it, from the opening scene to the closing. I think it's, and then the script by Kevin Williamson is just genius. Is Kevin Williamson?
Yeah, Kevin Williamson.
Yeah, it's just genius. I mean, the meta humor and the way we looked at horror, and we would talk about it amongst our friends, it just sounded like the dialogue that they used in the, it's like they're eavesdropping, you know, like the way we would talk about, you know, the nightmares and the Halloweens and all that shit, or talk about how fine Jamie Lee Curtis was and how she didn't show her shit until she went legit. You know what I mean? So I just, you know, I have no beef, no ill will towards Scream 1. I think it's genius. I love the little Freddy Krueger cameo, where it's Craven as the janitor, Freddy, Henry Winkler as the principal. You know, that all, Linda Blair as one of the reporters. I have no qualms with it. I think everybody was believable and likable, which is important. I talked about it a couple episodes back on Halloween. There's nothing worse than unlikable characters. And you're more invested in a movie when you like all the characters. I liked everybody, dude. And when what's his name's girl, Christina Ricci's character? I forgot her name. When she got it, I felt it.
Christina Ricci.
Not Christina Ricci. The one in the garage.
Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan. Yes, yeah, I always get those two mixed up.
Dewey's sister.
Dewey's sister. When she got it, hurt me. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you think Dewey's got it, you know what I'm saying? You feel it. So, I mean, it's just a perfect flick. So I don't got no problem with that one. We'll get to the ones that I have problems with. There it is. I got that same box set right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, another thing that I really loved about it is this: it was familiar, but it was different. You know what I mean? And the decisions that those characters made was not idiotic, like we talked about in the last time we were all here about the Texas Chain and bad decision making. So I'm a hip hop fan, and like, I was all about the 90s hip hop, and then I didn't listen to hip hop for a long time, and then I got into underground, and to find something that sounded familiar, it was refreshing. Like when I came across Jedi Mind Tricks or like Immortal Technique, and they come from this cloth of the Wu-Tang and Black Moon and Hieroglyph, you know, like that type of, and that's what Scream 1 was. Okay. Where were you when you came across? Did you see it in the theater?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You kind of answered your own complaint in a way. I can't really say for sure if the 90s was slim pickings, because you mentioned some good films, which was
right.
Silence of the Lambs, yeah, Candyman, Seven was another really good
film. Right, but that was before.
That can be considered a horror film. Yep. So there was some good stuff in the 90s. Jacob's Ladder was another really, really good film that's, you know, very underrated.
Right.
So I don't necessarily...
maybe I'm thinking slasher, maybe.
I probably have to research some more, but I'm not too sure if the 90s is really a bad time for horror. It may have really been a better time, because what I noticed was, I think, I don't want to dwell too much into Silence of the Lambs, but I think Silence of the Lambs started to mark a change in where we were going with horror.
Right.
More and more grounded, grounded antagonists that could exist in the real world. You know, they weren't the mythical boogeymen like Michael Myers,
Freddy,
Jason Voorhees, or Freddy Krueger, which kind of leads me to Ghostface. You know, I think Ghostface is kind of got one foot in that world and one foot in the world of Halloween, because it is a mass slasher. But like I said, you know, like with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Leatherface and Ghostface are both kind of grounded characters.
Right.
They, you know, with a little luck, a little moxie, you could actually defeat these characters.
Right.
But I enjoyed the film. What I liked about the film, you know, I'm thinking about it, and whoever's watching this, feel free to write in and correct me if I'm wrong. I think it it went against the type. I mean, it breathed fresh air into the slasher genre by kind of like taking the tropes and kind of turning them on their head.
Absolutely.
Perfect example is The Final Girl. Sidney Prescott was different than Laurie Strode and all the other final girls that, you know, came after Laurie Strode. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but the fact that she lost her virginity,
right,
and she still was able to, you know, become the hero and save the day, and,
right,
you know, vanquish the villain. And typically one of the rules in the movies is that the final girl doesn't lose her virginity. That's why she always survives, right,
because she's pure.
She has this virginal purity, right, and that was, you know, Sidney Prescott was a real.
Right.
Young woman.
Right.
You know, that, you know, like most teenagers, hormones are raging and she acted on them.
Right.
Another thing I liked about the series, and this goes from one all the way up to the current one, is that Ghostface could be anybody. I like the fact that in some of the movies, Ghostface was a female.
Right.
Other movies, Ghostface was a male.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, because I understand there are a lack of truly standout female villains, and, you know, horror bad guys are really still a domain of guys.
Right.
And nothing wrong with that, because, I mean, we've got some of the most memorable horror villains.
Right.
But also, too, to me, evil is not gender-specific. Anybody can do something horrible to another person, doesn't matter who you are. And I think that was kind of cool with Ghostface. I think, too, also why this franchise really resonates with people, I think, is because... In a way, like kind of like how Kevin Feige has kind of been the guiding hand for the Marvel movies, Scream has really been the vision of really one person.
Right.
Technically two, which is Kevin Williamson and Wes Craven.
Right.
Whereas
Wes,
like,
executed it, Kevin...
It's always been one person guiding it, one person's vision from the beginning to the end. Whereas, like, if you look at, you know, Halloween, Friday the 13th, it's, you know, each movie there's a different director...
Right.
Different producers sometimes, and they're going to come in with, you know, with a different idea, and sometimes they may not want to acknowledge what came before. They might want to do it all over again. But Scream has been pretty consistent throughout, and I think there's a certain comfort and familiarity that people like with that.
Right.
You know, coming back to you know, to that franchise, the characters are wonderful. I mean, you know, it's Scream is probably the textbook definition of a fun horror movie.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you juxtapose that to like Terrifier.
Right.
You know, Scream is just fun. You know, it's not one of these things where, you know...
Not heavy. Like, I was telling him when we did the Texas Chain the last time, I said, you know, to binge watch the Texas Chain, so especially the ones from the 2000s, the tone's so heavy that I can't binge watch it like I would Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street, when they're a little bit more fun and easier to process, easier to digest. You know what I mean? They're very heavier. You know what I mean? So I totally agree with you. Scream is easy. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's very easy to digest, and it's just, this is good fun, you know, from start to finish. As far as Wes Craven films, where do you rank it as for him?
Well,
it's not my favorite Wes Craven, but it's, I feel it's his best.
You know, believe it or not, I'm trying to think of all the Wes Craven films. I haven't seen every single Wes Craven Wes Craven film. Shame on me. You know, I haven't seen Serpent in a Rainbow.
Deadly Friend?
I never saw Deadly Friend.
Oh, dude, that's
I remember when it came out. I missed it. I have The Hills Have Eyes. I just haven't watched it yet. I also have Last House on the Left. I haven't watched it yet.
Those are heavier. Those are heavier.
I mean, I guess between, if I had to come down, it really, really comes down to it. We have to compare his two most famous franchises, which is
Nightmare on Elm Street
and Scream. And if I had to see just on a first movie basis, I think I like Nightmare on Elm Street a bit.
Absolutely.
More. That, bit more than Scream.
Right, but I still think that Wes Craven, I mean, I feel that Scream is a superior movie to Nightmare on Elm Street. And I'm the biggest Freddy fan. That was the one that he was like my go-to in the 80s.
Well, superior how? Because I'm curious.
Because I've never liked the end of Nightmare on Elm Street 1. When they snatch, and not to go on a tangent on another franchise, but when they snatch the mother through the thing, it just looks so corny. And it just wasn't definitive. And Scream, not in my movie, she bucks Loomis in the head, it's a wrap. They could have ended the franchise there if they wanted to, and it's definitive
in a positive way. That's really interesting. I mean, and that's very subjective, but it's respectable. Some people like a definitive ending. Some people like a more ambiguous ending. Like, you know, and even if there was never any Nightmare on Elm Street sequels, the fact the way it ended, we know that he's still out there.
Right.
And that's a really powerful image to leave with. And that's one of the things I thought, once again, I know we're jumping another tangent. I you know, why Halloween was so good at, you know, original was the way it ended.
Right.
He's gone, you know.
Right.
Is he still there? You know, where's he, you know, it, you know, I mean, of course the sequels answer that question.
Right.
But, you know, Elm Street was really well done. I don't want to delve into Elm Street, but I kind of feel like you don't get Sidney Prescott without Nancy Thompson.
I'm sorry, say that again. Can you say that again? Because I want him to hear that.
you don't get Sidney Prescott without Nancy Thompson.
Thank you.
And you don't get Nancy Thompson without Laurie Strode.
Right. But that's why she's the baby of them.
You know, so but I really like Sidney Prescott. And that's the thing I was gonna come back. The characters are so likable.
Right.
I
mean, all of them.
Sure.
You know,
she was considered kind of like on the antagonist side, which was
Gail?
Yeah, Gail's Weathers.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing about, you know, it's like there's more to Gail than just, you know, on a surface, he seems a very shallow person.
Very Lois Lane-ish.
You know, Lois Lane was never quite as shallow as Gail, but you know, when you see her, you know, it seems like she'll do anything to get the scoop, but when you really, you know, you start to really peel away layers, you see that Gail has a heart of gold,
right.
She cares, and she evolves through the movies. She never lets you forget she's still Gail Weathers, but right. You know, she definitely evolves throughout the series. I'm trying to think of what else I could say about this series. It's in the first movie is really just really good. It turned to slasher trope, and it was one of the, I won't say it was the first movie to be, I hate, you know, the term, lack of a better term, meta.
Right.
Because I like to say that Kevin Smith was probably doing that before Scream came out,
right?
Because he was the one that was doing the Star Wars references and jokes and talk about movies. But you know, Scream was the first one to really put into a horror movie,
right?
And to like tell the audience, yeah, these films are kind of goofy and fun, and we know the
right. Because some people say that the first one to do that was Nightmare on Elm Street. Friday the 13th Part 6. So what say you? I know this is one of your go-to franchises. You have a lot of love for Scream.
Yeah,
where were you when you saw it the first time?
It was 96, right?
Right, yeah. Right, end of 96, yeah.
Yeah, I think I just got back from Vegas. I was up in Victorville at the time, living there. And went and saw it. And, you know, obviously the opening scene is very memorable.
Yeah,
you know,
iconic.
Yeah, I felt that the constant swerve in it.
Right.
There's a constant swerve. You don't know who it is. Is it Spawn? Is it Corey?
Right.
Is it Leia? You know, you don't know. And
is
you
it
know.
Hitchcock behind you?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So that always kept me going. And Scream is one of those franchises, probably the only one that I can think of as of yet that it's hard for me to criticize.
Really?
You know, speaking about Gail Weathers, this is a character that's shallow, but she gave you the perspective of the viewers, you know, because we can see what her inside was, you know, in her relationship with Dewey. But we can also see what she's telling the public,
right?
You know, of that world,
right?
You know, she's that middle conduit, that perfect conduit, that to me is, I mean, of course, Sydney's the backbone,
right?
But I think Gail Weathers is a close second. None of the characters to me bothered me,
right?
You know, we talked about that a lot. Well written,
yep.
You know, and you know, the mask and everything is flimsy and as kind of. I mean, it's
cool. Dig the mask. When I first saw it, I was love at first sight with me.
Right, but I'm saying it's a mask that I think, generally speaking, in that world, you can go buy anywhere, right?
Right.
Which up the stakes even more because anyone can go in there and buy it.
Right.
Right.
Well, it goes back to what I'm saying. I think anyone can be Ghostface.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. So I mean, the first one to me is
right. It's a perfect film.
Yeah, I'd say perfect. Yeah. I don't think there's anything.
I can't think of any like flaws with it.
No.
I you know, I mean, the execution was there.
No bad
decisions. Stu and Billy, they were great.
No bad decisions.
No
on
bad
characters,
decisions
right?
of characters.
Is that fair? No stupid decisions from anybody. You know.
Yep. And
I got a friend of mine in San Diego. He doesn't like it. He's really knowledgeable of horror movies. His name's Chris.
Yeah.
He's not a fan of it. He thinks it insults his intelligence. But
all of them as a whole, or just
well, I think the first one in particular because it was so meta. You know, I think you know.
Yeah.
But you know,
I get
you know, I respect his opinion. You know, teach their own.
Yeah. No, I dug. I have no problem with the first one. Again, I feel. I mean, I'm one of the minority that thinks that it should have been Scream and that's it. You know what I mean? We still could have had the Ghostface still could have been popular. Look at Trick or Treat. I know it's not as popular as Scream, but you know, I just think it was a one and done. I feel the same way about Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, and a few others. Jaws.
I think we're getting a sequel to Trick or Treat. I heard.
I hope so.
Yeah, but they've been saying that for a while.
I hope so. Trick or Treat is the shit, man.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think it's a one and done, in my opinion. But that's, I mean, you know, I'm not mad at any of the five. They're all strong except for three. You know, when I saw two, we could, if we want to segue all the way to two. I remember that hype going into two. I mean, it was like people. I mean, there hasn't been the horror community hasn't buzzed like that at that point in '97 in at least a good 10 years at that point. Like, I remember the buzz leading into it. Like, I remember the last buzz that I could remember for a movie like Scream 2 was probably Friday the 13th Part 4, the final chapter. I remember at school, everyone was thinking that was it. I remember that was like a big buzz. You know what I'm saying?
I would say prior to Scream 2, the biggest buzz for a horror movie, and once again, it was a sequel to a Craven film, was The Dream Master.
Dream Warriors?
No, Dream Master.
Okay.
Dream Warriors put the Fear series back on track.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah.
But
I think
and Dream Warriors was big. People were talking about
it. Oh, no. We'll talk about that at another time.
But when Dream Master came out, I remember I went to the theater.
And I stand corrected, yes.
Theater, I had never been in a theater that packed to see. I mean, Freddie Mania was at an all time.
Oh, yes,
high.
Absolutely. And but, I agree with you. Yeah, and I forgot about that, but yeah, no.
And
also when Halloween 4. Halloween 4, there was a giant buzz because he's been gone for so long and he returned back. So it's been at least at that point 9 years that there's been a buzz in the horror community that I could remember besides up to. Because Halloween 4, I remember, because, you know, when you're a kid, I remember the hype up for it.
Yeah,
it was huge. You know?
It had been a good 6 years since we had Michael Myers, or at least a Halloween film.
Yeah.
The, also, too, with the original film, too, was that. Scream is was a term that's been used a lot, but Scream was a sleeper hit.
Right.
You know, no one saw Scream coming.
Right.
You know, I think it was around winter of, and it was really
like Christmas of '96.
Yeah, very unorthodox time to release a horror movie.
Yeah, like I was like two months after Halloween. You know.
Yeah, and the movie just in a way was kind of like Titanic, where word of mouth it just. Each week,
well, the Titanic, they were hyping, but this thing was a surprise.
But people thought, you know, Titanic would be done after a couple of weeks, and it kept going.
Oh,
and I think that's the same thing for Scream. Scream kept just chugging right along. Next thing you know, this movie hit 100 million.
Yeah,
and that hadn't been done in a horror movie at that point.
Yeah,
at least I can't think of anything that hit 100 million.
Yeah, because not even Dream Master or Warriors got that. They were like in the 20s, 30s.
Well, I think. when it was all said and nothing, Dream Master may have made 70 something. It was
right,
but this film did like 100 million, like a little over 100 million. It was the sleeper hit of that year.
Yeah, and the set off is not only the mask and the characters; it's the voice, brother. The voice.
Yeah. Oh, the voice of Scream. Yeah.
Roger Jackson.
Yeah.
And that carried on, man, because again, it could be a girl, it could be a guy. I mean, we didn't know that early on in the first one, right? You know. But that voice, where you can't identify it with any characters that you've seen, you know, on screen, you're like, okay, well, who the hell?
What
is
did you? What was your opinion of the climax with Bill and Stewie, where they do the reveal?
I don't remember being blown away because I was expecting something. I didn't pick them two at all. Okay. You know what I mean? But I was just expecting something, you know. And I thought, okay, this could live on. They can carry this on for on and on.
You thought that. So you thought there would be a lot more sequels?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just by the very nature.
I knew there were going to be sequels because, of course, Hollywood doesn't give a shit what we think.
Well, the very nature of
it. The quality, I didn't expect to. It never dropped until, I think, 3, in my opinion. But the quality, they're all good movies.
Shout out to Halloween, in there. Yeah. Obviously, at the end, the clip they were playing at the party and stuff. And, just a universal way to, serve up a killer. Mm-hmm. With a voice that could be anyone's,
What I like about it too is that, and this goes through the entire series, is they're basically Scooby-Doo movies for adults.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
It's basically Scooby-Doo without Scooby and Shaggy.
Right.
It's basically.
Shaggy's in the. He dies. He was Stewie. I was Stewart.
Yeah. But my thing is you look at Dewey, Gale, and Sydney as basically Fred, Daphne, and Velma,
right?
And which I probably say that I would say that Gale is the Velma character because Gale Weathers is really smart too. She knows how to research and put pieces together,
right? And she has that feeling like if something's off,
she's an investigative reporter, so she knows how to connect the dots. So, and I thought that was cool because each movie, it always winds up unmasking the killer.
Right.
Like a Scooby-Doo cartoon. And I think it was, people really, really enjoyed that.
So, two, hype up for two, you said, I mean, it was a buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the opening scene was okay.
Well, that was with your homegirl, right?
Yeah.
Jada.
Yeah. And Jada and Omar Epps.
Yep.
Now, had she been with Will at the time, he would have slapped the shit out of Ghostface, and it would have been over.
It would have been a wrap.
Yeah, it would have been a 20, 15-minute movie. But I didn't like her death scene. When she goes, and it was just like, I kind of...
Her scream was dope, though.
Her scream was good, and that whole scene, the whole bathroom scene, I thought was very, very strong, and very weird when you hear the weird
noise.
And then when he gets stabbed, and then he comes back with the leather jacket or whoever that was, but just when she just falls, I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit, and I was like, oh, I don't know on this one. So,
I like Scream 2.
Scream 2 has my favorite scene in the whole franchise when they get caught in the back seat of the police car.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
And they have to climb over Ghostface, and the tension in the theater. Everyone was like, "Oh shit!" And I, I'm an '80s kid, '70s baby, '80s kid, and I'm desensitized as fuck. But at that moment. Nails are being bitten, and I'm like nervous, and just them climbing over, and then the one bad decision, in that movie, is where she goes, I have to know, I got to take that mask off, and then when she goes back, he's gone, and then her girl gets it. Oh, that's so well executed from start to finish. You know what I mean? That Wes whole Craven. Scene, yeah, Scream 2, man.
Wes Craven.
Yeah, Wes Craven just pulled that off immaculately. You know what I mean? I wasn't crazy about the boyfriend in Scream 2. Oh,
Jerry O'Connell?
Yeah. And I like him as an actor. Just the whole Top Gun singing thing, that was whack to me. I started disliking some of the characters. The guy's a great actor. He was in The Mandalorian recently. He was the other killer with Billy Loomis's mom.
Yeah.
The Tarantino-esque.
Was it Timothy Olyphant?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So he was a little over the top and very, just just chewing up the scene and just ridiculous to me. I wasn't feeling him. I love the I always forget her name, but she's from Roseanne.
Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah, Laurie Metcalf. I thought she was excellent in that role. I mean, menacing. Her eyes. She's a what she does with her eyes. I mean, actors would train years for that.
Unlike a certain other horror movie franchise, I thought this was a much better maternal killer than another mother who happens to frequent Crystal Lake.
Oh, no.
Pam, oh, he's a hater. He's a hater.
Really?
Adrian King, Friday 13.
I like Billy Loomis' mom was way cooler than Pamela Voorhees.
No way. Pamela Voorhees was amazing.
Yes.
Her noise set off a franchise. Kill mommy, kill. You know what I'm saying? She was, I'm telling you, Dad, I love Pam Voorhees.
I'll take Billy Loomis' mom. Mm-hmm.
She got shot. She got out easy. Voorhees took the machete to the neck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, two started to he started to introduce characters that kind of got on your nerves. Mm-hmm. Like, what was his name? Jerry
O'Connell?
He was such a putz to Sydney, right?
Right.
She wasn't even feeling him.
Right.
And you kind of felt bad for him in a sense. And then he jumps up on the table and does that whole scene, which was whack.
Yeah. That was.
You know, you got the sorority girls, right?
Right. They were okay. That wasn't mad at them.
By design.
That was interesting because, the first one to get killed was Sarah Michelle Gellar, who was Buffy.
Right.
She was great.
But the other three, though. You got the Noxzema girl.
Right.
And the other two. With Ellen's wife.
Yeah.
Or Ellen's girl. Yeah. But, again, by design. I thought, too, carried the story on well to the college.
I was upset that they killed my man.
Jamie Kennedy?
Yeah, Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, he got it.
I was disappointed. I really wanted him to go on because out of all the characters, that was the one that was most familiar to me.
Randy Meeks.
That was us. Yeah.
Randy Meeks.
Which was a good kill in broad daylight. He mentions OJ in that scene.
Too. Right, right.
You know.
Showgirls, he had the best lines, you know.
Right.
It's funny because I see his podcast. He goes, I don't even know why I did a British accent. But he's like, and he would got away with it too. You know, like when he does the British accent.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't even know why I did a British accent. I just did it, you know. So
Wes was like that. I thought it was executed well. It took you from, high school, obviously, to college now.
Right.
Into that campus, into that world, and executed it well.
Right.
A film student, right?
Right.
You know.
But I want to be famous, blah, 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 blah.
There's an F-up, or maybe not an F-up in that movie. So you remember in the film class, when Kevin Williamson's teaching the class, and it's stay away from her, you bitch.
Right. He got the line wrong.
He got the line wrong when he corrected him.
Yeah.
And they went on with the scene. Yeah. Get away from her, you bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, get away from her, you bitch.
Yeah. This is film class, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And he was actually wrong with the line from Aliens, right? So I don't know if that was by design.
No, it wasn't. He said that they fucked up the line. And he goes, but there was no Google back then and da 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 da.
Your boy from Dawson's Creek said,
James Vanderbeek?
He said, no, the other cat, Joshua Jackson.
Jackson.
He's the one that said, get away from me, you bitch?
Yeah, he said it right.
He said it right.
Yeah, and then Jamie Kennedy said it wrong and clowned him, but he had it wrong the whole time.
He had it wrong, right. And then it started to identify itself as a sequel and carry on those rules.
And they had the rules, which I dug.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Yeah.
Well, it's what I was talking to earlier, last time, we were talking, this show was like a recruiting ground for all those WB actors and actresses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When you mentioned that on the Texas Chain episode,
Or on Fox, on Fox Network.
Right.
Because, Nev came from Party of Five.
Right. So did Jessica Love Hewitt.
Yeah, who's in the...
I Know What You Did.
Yeah, Summer, which is kind of, that's a result of Scream. Then you had Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy, because Buffy was extremely popular when that show came on. Buffy was at the peak of its popularity. But then you had Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think Jamie Kennedy may have been on some show too or something.
Right, probably.
He's from that generation of actors. Right. Jerry O'Connell. It was just interesting. All those young actors, were making their bones in horror movies.
Yeah, and Jada and Omar Epps, they kept up the stereotype that the brothers don't make it past the opening credit scene, and then they got killed before the opening credit scene. The little things like that I thought were fun.
I don't look at it. I don't know.
That was always the knock. Every comedian in the 80s, that was their go-to. Brothers don't make it in horror movies.
But actually, no, because Mike, because remember, what's the name, did survive.
Kincaid?
Dwayne Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the newspaper man. So I think they were trying to, like, they kind of faked you out a little bit in the beginning. But then
Dwayne Martin lived. Yeah.
But he how Jada was treating, dude? I wonder if that's a taste of. I'm just saying.
I'm not going there.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, dude. I mean, she got it, and I was kind of happy to see her again.
It was a slap in the face for sure.
You know, I see what you did there.
I did. Yeah. But what did you think? I see, like, every time there's a new killer, to me, it just dilutes it. Like, how I could see Mrs. Loomis being crazy because her son was crazy. It's in the bloodline. But then, like, it was a stretch with the dude. You know what I mean?
I don't think so. But are we into three now?
Or no, I haven't touched three yet. Okay. I'm talking about the.
Oh, he's on Timmy Oliphant's character.
Yeah, and I just
what was the stretch?
Just him just being as crazy as he was is so over the top that it takes me out of it. So the movie itself, like I said, it has my favorite scene in the Scream franchise. I'm like this, and then I fold my arms when I see him.
It was kind of cringy, right? The end there, yeah.
You know,
he's all that. What do you say? The story will practically tell itself, or something like that.
It was all that stuff.
It was over the top.
Yeah, and then that's when it becomes fold your arms. Oh, okay, here we go. And so that's why I liked it, but I didn't like the killers, and that's why I think that it should have just been done, one and done with the Loomis, you know what I'm saying, and Stewie, or Stu, or whatever. But I don't want to harp on that the whole time. But yeah, no, it was great, and it's so well done. Another Wes Craven, he was great in it. The dialogue was incredible, and I'm big on dialogue. Very funny lines. They shit on the Ewoks, which always gets points with me. You know what I mean?
Shout out Ewoks.
Considering what came after it.
Yeah. That's true. I'll take an Ewok over any day of the week. Turtleneck pants Kylo Ren.
Porgs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Porgs.
Yeah. Or Jar Jars. So I get it. Right. I didn't think 3 was going to be as bad as it was. I was hoping for a strong stick the landing finish on 3. And to this day, I can't. It's hard. It's work for me to watch 3.
3 is the one people shit on the most. Corey, what'd you think of 3?
I just watched it yesterday, and I didn't think it was all that bad. I do think it some of the characters do get a little silly, in particular Parker Posey's character.
That's one of my least favorite actors of all time. Sorry.
She's a good actress. I just think that character was just a little too much.
Right.
Look, we know that Scream is meta, and it's making fun of the very thing that it is.
Right.
And I think they were doing a little bit too much, nailing too much on the head with the whole Hollywood thing, you know, and being on the sets and stuff. And, you know, in hindsight, you didn't really need Jay and Silent Bob in the movie. You know, Kevin Smith shows up for a minute.
Right.
See what I mean?
You know.
Right.
But, you know, also, too, you got to remember, too.
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
But you also got, just like her. I was up for the role as Princess Leia. I'm like, come on, bro.
I was going to say, also, too, you got to remember, too, this was Dimension Films, which was a subsidiary of Miramax. And that's all. It was all one big happy family. Kevin Smith was under that family because you know Miramax was putting out his movies.
Right.
So I get it, but I'm just
was that around the same time as Resurrection?
Oh, Halloween Resurrection.
Yeah, Halloween Resurrection at the same time as Scream 3.
You know what? Because Scream 3 came out in the 2000s.
Well, Scream 3 came out in 2000, February 2000.
Okay. So it was 2 years before Resurrection.
Yeah.
Resurrection 2002.
Right. Okay. Just trying to see the connection of the corniness there.
No. Dimension.
Because we outrank you now. We outrank you.
Well, Dimension Pictures, I mean, they made their bones on horror. That was Miramax's subsidiary to do, you know, low to medium budget range horror movies. And it worked. I mean,
they did Urban Legend, right?
They did a lot of stuff. A lot of your horror movies from the mid-90s.
Right.
Mid-90s all the way through, you know, through like the early 2000s was, to me, the company that's putting out those horror movies at the time, or the premier company, was Dimension Pictures. And then I think at one point in the 2000s, Lionsgate took over with the Saw franchise and all the stuff they were doing. They started becoming the go-to studio.
Right, now it's Blumhouse.
Yeah, now it's Blumhouse. So they go through cycles. Every few years, it's one studio.
A24.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, you know, every studio comes out, and you can understand why these films are not expensive to make. That's another reason I was going to go back to Scream 1. Scream was probably the biggest hit of '96 because it didn't cost that much money to make Scream. I mean, probably the highest paid actor was Drew Barrymore, in that series,
who was incredible. We didn't talk about how good she was,
right?
And the movie made gangbusters. I mean, it did. I mean, not to mention what Scream did on home video,
right?
You know.
Yeah, I got it. That opening when it came out on Tuesday at Walmart back in So it dropped in 96. I think it was out on VHS in like April of 97.
Well, you got to remember too.
And I grabbed it that Tuesday. You know what I'm saying?
Like, Scream also hit the theaters.
Or was it October
of
97?
Right before the dawn of DVD. Because DVD really came on the scene in 97. But DVD didn't really pick up steam until 99 after The Matrix came out and everybody
wanted the clean version of, yeah.
So, but. Scream 3, I liked it. I liked the whole thing with the brother, because here's the thing too, once again, and I don't want to genderize, but we're in a stage where we talk about diverse roles for women and stuff like that. I think it's good to like have women play less than noble characters, because typically in horror movies all the bad stuff or the things that are set in motion are done by men. Mm-hmm. But especially after watching Scream 3, you could kind of argue probably the biggest villain in the entire series is Maureen Prescott. Right. And she's not even alive.
Right.
And the fact that, she had this child that she abandoned.
Right.
And so he was in a way, nothing really justifies cold-blooded murder.
Right.
But you understand his anger and his resentment towards Sidney. Mm-hmm. And why, this mother, I'm a child, I want my mother, and my mother, has cut me off. She wants to leave this world behind, as she was Irina Reynolds, whatever.
Right.
The actress she played, that doesn't exist to me, you don't exist to me. And that's hard, for a child. So, I liked his motivation. He's probably arguably the toughest Ghostface opponent for Sidney. He was really laying on, slamming her head against the wall and stuff. Maybe I have to relook at Billy Loomis again. But, Scott Foley, who played the character, what was his name, Roman?
Roman, yeah.
What was the last name? It was a common last name, too. But he was really, tit for tat with her, going at it. And maybe because they're sisters and brothers, that they both had that spirit, that fighting spirit in them. I liked it, but like I said, it is sillier in many ways than the rest of them with the surrounding cast. The one girl, Emily Mortimer, who played, she's probably the actress that was playing Sidney.
The second time.
Yeah, she was kind of like, a little goofy. And so,
what's his name, thought he was going to die, so he left a video. So he had Jamie Kennedy, had a cameo. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that, I was just over it. You know what I mean? Like, I was just, it was just, to me, it was just hard to get through. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't wait for it to be over. And it was a shame, because I love one, and I'm very fond of two. I just think that it just kills it every time there's a new killer under the mask. To have somebody be that brutal or that, it's just a reach. You know what I mean? Like Freddy, Jason, they could come back, and that's just in their nature, and Mike, you know what I'm saying? But to have someone brand new plot this out, you know what I'm saying? To how many devious criminal serial killer masterminds are there in this fucking universe of theirs?
I see your point. It's kind of like Die Hard. How many times McClane going to run into terrorists?
Right.
really, Die Hard probably should have stopped at one.
Right. That's another one. But I love two and three.
But I like two more.
Yeah.
But I liked how it connected to Sidney. I thought that was cool. To me, it wasn't too far-fetched that she had a brother she never knew about.
Michael Myers and Jamie Lee Curtis. You know what I'm saying?
Strode.
You know what I'm saying? Like them being brothers and sisters. It's been done before.
Well, here's another interesting thing.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Here's another interesting thing about Scream 3. Just like the 2022 movie that we'll talk about here in coming up shortly, Sidney's not really in it all that much.
Right.
Really, a lot of the movie centers around Gale and Dewey running around trying. And Sidney doesn't really come into midway through the movie. And then even then, she's sitting on the sidelines at the police station until the killer calls her out, and she has to come and save the day, more or less.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting, which in a way wasn't. I like Sidney, but it shows how strong Gale and Dewey are as characters as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, I honestly, looking back, now are we allowed spoilers?
Of course.
For those who haven't seen Scream 2022, I'm about to reveal a major spoiler. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Dewey got killed off, which bummed me out because I really liked Dewey.
Right. Like Vito said, Vito, he said Dewey got the Han Solo treatment.
I can conceivably see a movie just around Dewey and Gale. I think they're strong. Although I like the trio. I think they're strongest together. Right. And that's one of the selling points of that whole franchise, and I'm going to miss that. moving forward with these sequels, you know, that they don't have Dewey anymore. And what would be really interesting is to see how Gale is going to be. Maybe we should say that for the conversation in 2022. I don't mean to jump too far. So sorry about that, Mike. I didn't mean it, but
no, it's all good.
So anyway, we'll come back to that.
My thing with three is that the whole brother and sister's been done, and for a franchise that kind of, you know, reinvented the wheel, so to speak, when it comes to slashers, it was a disappointment. You know what I mean? Because Billy and Stu and having two killers, that was you know, what I can't think of any movie that had two killers.
But see, that was a cool thing. They didn't. That was dope. They went with one killer.
Well, no. But I'm just saying. So, but the brother and sister was the rehash. And the thing that we've seen, whether it be Star Wars or whether it be Halloween, it's just the relation thing was done. I was done by three. I don't know. It was just where I was in my life. I was just done with Scream 3. You know, I was just disappointed. It's not one of the ones where I would drop the remote. If I'm watching Change of Channels and Scream 2's on and it's, you know, with the bad words and everything, I would drop the remote and still watch it. Three, I just keep changing channels. You know, I'm not a fan of it. I don't know. It just doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I mean, you suspend your disbelief as much as you can, right? But
right.
You got the scene where, you know, all the actors are in the trailer and the killer's faxing the...
Yeah, yeah. It's in the house, actually.
Or in the house. That that was a bit much.
Yeah.
And he's standing there reading it going, it's going to blow or whatever he says. And
It
got a little more far-fetched.
Yeah, you know that lethal weapon type explosion seemed a little...
Right.
Little beyond Scream's range. Like, do we really need that type, you know, like that John McTiernan, you know, Joe Silver era action explosions? Right. But also, too, and I'll bring one of the problems, and I guess, you know, I was saying in a roundabout way, the supporting stars aren't as cool to me in Scream 3.
Right.
I when we move to the next one, I definitely like the supporting cast in the next one better than, you know.
Yeah, this is Iron Mike's
but
favorite.
But I like Scott Foley. I thought Scott Foley was cool. I did.
And who's Scott Foley?
Yeah, I thought he was cool as Go-Face. Her brother. I thought he was cool.
Oh, okay.
But the supporting cast, Parker Posey. Yeah.
Parker Posey's, I can't stand
what's her name? Blade Emily Moore. No, they're all, she's a good actress. Parker Posey's, I liked her better in Blade 3.
No.
Then,
we'll get on that.
But Blade 3's not a good movie, no. Yeah, I'm just saying I liked her better in Blade 3 than in Scream. But, you know, Emily Mortimer, they're all wonderful actors and actresses.
Right.
I saw Emily Mortimer in a really cool movie with Chiwetel Ejiofor called Red Belt, something I call like Karate Kid for adults.
Mm.
But, Patrick Warburton, he was cool in it. You know, I mean, he's a good actor. I mean, like I said, these characters.
What did you think about what's his name dying in the opening scene? To have a dude die in the opening scene, which I thought
you,
was cool.
Once again, it shows you like because these are all the
what's core, the character's name?
Cotton Weary, Liev Schreiber. Yeah. These are all the core people from the original movie. And, and one thing they always tell you with Scream is like, you know, no one's really safe.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised in the next movie they do kill Sidney off.
Right.
I don't want to see that happen. I really like Sidney Prescott, and I like Gale. And Dewey, but one thing about it is like no one's safe in this world, you know. It is what it is. So
I thought how they had the movie set built for her, and she went. Sidney ended up on the movie set.
Right,
it was surreal for her character to actually have lived that.
Right,
and then now she's on a set in that city.
That was a cool little swerve.
You know what I mean? That was very interesting. But getting to four, I enjoy a lot, and it actually rivals one. The original to
nice.
Me
okay.
because, well, yeah, because at this point there had been a gap, right? Years wise from three. What was the gap?
Like a 14-year gap.
I think it was 11 year gap.
11-year gap.
Yeah, because
2000 was three.
Was three two? No, three wasn't 2000.
Yeah, three was like February.
Oh, one, I thought it was 2000.
Yeah, okay. February 2000.
So 2011 came
out. Look it up.
2011.
Well, I believe you.
So 2011 it came out. If I'm pretty sure. Anyway, you grow old with these characters, you know.
Right.
So when we come back to four, you see them all. You see Sidney now, older, mature, wrote a book.
Right.
You know, looking a little older. And, and you know,
still
everybody's
great, though. Still
Everybody's weathered.
Right.
You know, everybody's lived.
Right.
You know, and you kind of ride that with them. So coming back, you know, and you get to see them looking down upon high school kids now.
Right.
And seeing how they're running stuff. So four for me. And, like, somebody touched on some of the shots earlier about the blurred edges and things. Okay. I don't know if that was you.
No.
Or maybe it was Vito.
Yeah.
How it was
last,
shot at
on
night.
On the last one?
On four.
Oh, okay.
How it looked, kind of, the edges looked soft and a lot of the night shots and stuff like that. I like that touch. The swerve on that, who was the killers? It was, what's his
it
name?
It was the niece and then Macaulay Culkin's brother.
Kieran.
Emma Roberts and, and Kieran, right.
She, to me, is the best. Ghost face, the most vicious, and the she p- put in work on Sydney.
Even her explanation at the end wasn't cringy.
Yeah, it wasn't it was cringy at all. Rageful, I felt it.
Yeah, you definitely.
She wanted to be internet famous.
Yeah, exactly.
So. And she was vicious.
It was strong, man.
Yeah, no, I love that.
I like it. I'm sorry. Yo, go ahead. Yeah. I liked it a lot. I like it better than three. I did. I mean, overall, yeah, it's a much better movie. I really like Hayden Panettiere's Kirby. I like
Is that the blonde chick?
Yeah,
she was a great character. I was so mad when she died.
She's so cute, man. She was. I like Kirby. I didn't want to see Kirby, yeah.
Yeah, when she got it, I was pissed.
Kirby was cool.
What did you think about the opening with all the...
The fake out within the fake out. Yeah, I thought that was great.
That was great. The fake out within the fake out. You know, you think that one... Yeah. Right. That was
good. And once again, being mad, because Scream's always at the forefront of that. It was a film that was addressing the remake sensation,
right.
which was completely legit.
Right.
And I mean, the remakes things are in full swing because because it was 2011 when it came out, so we had just had
the Nightmare on Elm Street
and Friday, you know, before that, and already had two Halloweens.
Yep.
So
and then remember, he uses that as a question, and she broke down every remake that they had between since The Hills Have Eyes, since Texas Chain, all the way to, you know, Bloody Valentine, everything. She broke it down, every remake that was made at that point in time. It was dope. I love that scene.
It was good.
I wasn't hating the teenage characters.
Nope, they were cool.
Yeah. The little class or whatever.
Yeah, stab, because they were kind of like the new generation of Randy.
Right.
You know, the film.
The film buffs.
And stuff like that. I think I'm missing something. I liked, you know, Gail and Dewey's relationship again. You know,
the nurse, not the nurse, the deputy.
The deputy. Lemon squares.
Yeah. By the way, your lemon squares taste like shit. Yeah, she's good. I good acting, good direction. That's the thing with these. They're not, the quality doesn't drop. The only thing is, I think the motivation of the killer drops in each of them. You know, even though I loved four, but I just that's my thing with three and two. I just a reach. But I they're good movies, and I'll drop the remote to watch them. Like, especially four.
I think the motivation is legit. I mean, you know, they had the mother; she was angry,
right?
Because of Maureen Prescott's, you know,
right. Had she done it alone, I would have been good with that.
But
I think the film buff and maybe the brother would have had a more better dynamic. They would have had that friendship, maybe, of, you know, being film buffs and nerds.
Back to two, you look at, you know, Billy's mom. You know, she's a kind of a middle aged soccer mom, so she probably needed Timothy Olyphant as the muscle to do certain things that she couldn't get done.
Yeah, she carved up Randy real lovely.
Yeah.
You buying it?
I buy it. So when I was a teenager and I was already like 6'4", 6'5", my mom used to whip my ass, like, you know, say, like, I owed her money. Like,
well, if
I
you
was
ain't talking touching back. Mom, though.
Yeah, of course. Right. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, she had that mom strength, you know what I'm saying? And she was nice with the chancla. So maybe she was nice with the knife and the stew. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, moms are strong, you know what I mean?
Well,
so.
I think it's psychological, too. But, you know, you're grown. Your mom knows you're stronger than her. Yeah. But she knows you're not going to, you're a mother. You know?
Right.
You know, you touch your mother? It's like, they got you there up there, you know?
Yeah.
But four is good. I like four.
I love four a lot.
I think some people had issues with it when it came out. And I'm like,
I didn't.
This is a wonderful money. Movie. Yeah.
Anthony Anderson's death, I thought was strong. The other cops.
Fuck Bruce Willis.
Yeah. The deaths in part four, I thought, were very strong.
Olivia's death. Olivia's the girl across the from
oh,
the house.
Yes. Yeah, that was dead. Brutal.
You can see her guts and her intestines,
man.
And whatnot.
They were not holding back on Scream 4.
Yeah. And then, of course, Anthony Anderson and the other cop, they were nowhere to be found in that scene.
So you think maybe, you know, say like you had no clue. Even the death of Sydney's agent.
Oh, yeah, in the parking garage.
The parking garage. Yeah. That was brutal. That was a great scene, too. Sure. Very tense. That's the thing that I love the most about that Wes Craven did in that franchise is the tension built and then the payoff, you know what I'm saying? So I think he did that well, like I said, with the going back to that, my favorite scene is the cop car and also the car garage, the cop car in Scream 2 and then the car garage in Scream 4. I thought the build-up and then the execution were just well done, you know, on both of those.
Like I said, I mean, one reason why this franchise is, you know, is so good because you had one guiding vision.
Right.
One vision. You know, it doesn't switch directors.
At least, right.
You know, of course, this last one.
Right. Of course.
Couldn't be helped. But, you know, this is Wes guiding us from one all the way through four.
Right.
And there is a consistency of quality.
Right.
In this series that I think people recognize. And he's a hell of a director. He was one hell of a director.
Oh, no. He was one of my guys.
I mean, like, when they talk about horror directors, if people put him over Carpenter, I ain't going to put him in the argument. Not as I love John Carpenter.
Right.
I ain't going to argue if someone says, you know, I know my buddy Javon would definitely put Wes Craven, you know.
Carpenter over Craven?
Over Carpenter.
Right. But it's legit. Like, you know, it's like, you know, who do you got? Who's nicer, Muhammad Ali or Tyson? You know, say it's one of those arguments where you're good either way. Who's better, Superman, Batman? You know,
Superman's better than Batman.
Here we go. I go bats, but anyway. But, you know, say it's like one of those arguments, you know. So
you really think Ben Affleck won that fight? What did Henry Cavill say? If I wanted it, you'd be dead already.
Right, of course.
He never wanted to kill Batman.
Yeah, he could have, you know, squished him, but no.
Give me the DA off of something.
So why do you hold Scream 4 in such regard?
I think just because of the aging process that and the jump in years. I don't know if that's the biggest jump between the sequels
or not.
It's 11 years, right?
It is. So,
I don't know, man. And I enjoyed the storyline on it. The kills were dope, you know. What's her name? Emma Roberts.
I also like the fact the final scene with Sydney and the cousin.
Yeah.
How it took place in somewhere that was different.
Sure.
You know, that's why the last episode, the ones that are similar yet different, like with the Texas Chain,
right?
Where I held the ones that were different in such high regards, and same thing with Scream, where the final scene in Scream 2 was the movie theater or the school theater.
Which
was cool. Yeah. It was different. Mm-hmm. Not going back to the house again, that gets kind of tired to me. You know what I mean? And I like the fact it was in the hospital. It was different. It was very. She was. I couldn't believe how brutal she was. You know what I'm saying?
She was willing to give up.
Yeah,
know?
Just to cut kill Sid.
Up and
yeah, man.
Up,
she was,
you know?
Oh, so good. That was so well was done. Good. Yeah.
So you got the jump from 2011. Damn, another 11 years.
Let me ask you a question before.
To this
are,
one.
Are you, we to covering screen? The TV series? I've never watched the series.
No.
No, we're not covering it, but I watched two seasons of it. I liked them.
Okay, okay. Maybe do you want to shed some
I don't know enough about them.
Okay.
I saw them once. But they were good, dude.
Okay.
I thought they were really good.
Okay.
So you got another jump of 11 years into this Scream 2022, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That one I went and saw, it doesn't rank high on the list.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't rank high on the list for me. It's probably number 5. We'll get to that, you know, for me. But I think it was good enough, especially without Wes. You know, it didn't blow me away. There was some stuff I didn't like to see. I didn't want to see Dewey die. I don't give a shit.
Right.
I don't care about what the rules are. I didn't want to see Dewey
die.
I'm
with you.
You know?
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We I don't know. We live in this age now where we, especially after going through Game of Thrones, we're so conditioned. We love seeing
our favorite characters die.
And I don't think that has to be the case all the time. I'm not saying that we, you know, not to completely get away from it. But there was always something really comforting and nice about those three. I think together they're the strongest.
Right.
You know, I feel like, you know, when Dewey, Gale, and Sydney are together, there's nothing they can't accomplish.
Right.
And now part of that component, Dewey's really the heart
yep.
of the team, and he's gone now.
Yep.
And what I want to come back to, I was talking about earlier now, moving forward, because they've already greenlit the sequel.
Right.
This is, I guess, probably another 2 years, 2024 we'll get.
Right.
Moving forward, if nothing else, I hope they focus on how Gail's going to cope now.
Right, because she got over it a little quick in Scream 5.
Yeah, it was a little too quick. And
right.
I mean, granted, everything was going on.
Right, everything
really
was,
didn't really have time to really mourn.
Process
now
it,
that's over, I you know, it's going to be interesting to see where Gail's at, what state she's in when we come back to this next movie.
I saw all three of them in the theater, 1, 2, and 3, right? So when Dewey is on the gurney in part 1, the audience erupted when you realize that it's right.
Yeah, I was trying to finish something.
Oh, sorry.
But I just want to see. I'm really curious how she's going to cope with that in the next movie, because, you know, I think one of the cool things about those characters, I think Dewey always brought out the best in Gale.
Right.
And that's gone now. And it could be interesting because Gale and Sydney weren't always the best of friends. Remember,
right.
Sydney couldn't stand Gale. I mean, things had changed over the years,
right.
And they're sisters in arms.
It took a while.
But to see them two, you know, deal with the next, whatever the next threat is, without Dewey is going to be interesting.
Yeah, because she's going to be by herself while Sydney has her family and her kids wherever they live. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, she's going to be with her, you know, she's not alone.
Allegedly, because maybe he didn't die. You know, look at Halloween 2018, right? Will Patton. I mean, you never
That's because, see, a penknife doesnn't penetrate the
So you never know. I don't know if they confirmed it in the movie.
They haven't had a funeral, but again, so like, you know, he's so beloved. I remember it was like going to a sports event.
Yeah.
When he's on the gurney and puts his hand up like he's okay, and one and two, I mean, everyone just went, it was like.
Even in the beginning of two, when he's limping onto campus.
Right. Oh, yeah, everyone cheered
for him. Yeah, I mean, I think Dewey might have been the most beloved character.
Absolutely. Right, you know? Absolutely. I agree with that.
And so. Like I said, and it's nothing wrong. You know, if a writer is doing his or her job, I think you're going to have a bit of an emotional reaction when you lose your character you latch onto. That's their job, to make you care about these characters and have to come back and see their latest escapade or adventure. And I guess we're not going to get Dewey anymore, Dewey Riley. And that's going to be kind of sad because, you know, I like that character, man.
A lot.
Dewey was cool, man. Dewey was the man.
Yeah, he was the man, isn't it?
So, hey, you know, getting love to you, David Arquette, you know, if you're watching this podcast, man.
I don't think old girl carves him up like that, but okay.
You know.
Yeah, that part, I had a bad. I'm sorry.
He
bucked her, and, you know, she's a 90-pound, you know, girl, and I'm not being sexist or anything like that. Even me as a 300-pound man, if I get shot and I'm wearing a vest, I'm going to be incapacitated for a while.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm going to be knocked back, you know what I'm saying? And it's going to be hard for me to get up to even maneuver, you know what I'm saying? And for her...
Well, here's the thing, too. And me and you and I had this talk, Mike. You know, go ahead, finish.
Go ahead.
You and I had this talk, Mike, and I still see where you're coming from. But she had the element of surprise. That's the only reason why I would somewhat give it up to her, because... You know,
that's
she
fair. Took
she Dewey because Dewey, you know, Dewey if Dewey had not stood over her kind of in a vulnerable position with his kind of like his abdomen all kind of wide open.
Yeah,
I had to see the movie again, but I remember like he was standing over to make sure she was dead, and that's when she got him. You know,
that's fair.
She's already stabbed him and he's wounded.
Right.
So you know he's already hurt, and you know his strength level's probably dropped already by 50%. So from that point, it's pretty easy to kind of subdue him and finish him off.
What did you guys think of the reasoning of the whole wham-wham? You know what I mean?
I thought it was the weakest.
Run it by me again. I saw it once in theater.
Okay, so they just wanted to do a requel, and they wanted just to have a better version of part one. And so they had the boyfriend again of the killer, Sidney Prescott's original killer. And it was just such a reach, and that's my whole point of them not continuing this franchise. It just becomes more of a reach, and it becomes harder to find people that got beef with Sydney. You know what I'm saying? So they had to go to Loomis's daughter, and it was just a major reach. Now, even the thing that I get points on, and I've been giving Texas Chain points, and I gave Halloween Kills points, is the kills on this one were excellent. So at this point, it's just, am I just watching it just for that, which sucks. I mean, those are great, but it doesn't have the lasting effect of, say, Halloween 2.
Definitely wasn't feeling the Skeet Ulrich flashbacks.
Right. Oh, no, I hate that.
Right.
The Skeet Ulrich, they never went supernatural. They never went where there's ghosts and all that. They try to dabble
dreams.
In that
they did
in
dreams.
3.
That's right,
well,
right.
They tried to dabble in that in 3, but it failed miserably, and that's why 3 is one of the weakest, the weakest.
What part? When Sydney was asleep on the couch?
Yeah, the shit with the ghost and all that. That was a special effects?
That was a dream.
That was a dream.
Yeah, oh, that was a special effects?
See, I think what you're trying to say is like an Obi-Wan Kenobi moment. That's not what's happening. Because I think what the daughter was, she just started thinking about who her father was, and she kind of tapped into that dark side of Billy has to overcome the latest ghost face.
As he looked back then, you know, he looked how he looked back in 96.
Right.
So I don't, just depends how, it's all up for interpretation. We'll never know.
I thought that was whack too.
If I get out of here early enough, man, I might just go pick it up.
It just
reminded me of Dexter talking to his dad in the show Dexter. You know, say where, you know, he's the moral compass for Dexter. He argues with that character. She's doing the same thing. It just, again, for a movie that always pushes the envelope in change and being different, to go back to these tire tropes,
sucks.
Yeah, yeah. I thought too when Gail and Sydney were out in front of the house, and old girl runs out, and they look at each other and go, "What do you think? Fake or
right?"
And then they're like, "Yeah, that's fake or whatever." Yeah. And I thought, now you're reaching
right
even more.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we'll see what they do. I'm going to go see if they do 10 more. I'm going to go see 10 more.
Right, of course. We're horror fanatics. We're glutton for punishment.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I have a point where I have to stop. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like for me, like perfect example was I didn't bother none of the Rob Zombie Halloweens. At least I didn't pay for them. I forgot when because I felt like Halloween didn't need to be remade. So when the first one came out in 07, there was a film called Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
And I already saw it was really cool. And then I went to theaters again, but I paid for Shoot 'Em Up, but walked over and watched Halloween. Mm-hmm. You know, because I wasn't going to put my money in there, right? Give Rob Zombie my money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not for that. And, you know, Halloween 2 was the same way. I was watching something else. I just, you know, walked in. So, yeah, I did watch it, but I wasn't going to pay for
right.
it. You know.
Well,
I mean, where can they go at this point? Like, honestly, like, where can you go? Who could be the next killer? It's just ridiculous.
Well, I'm going to call it right now. Dewey's coming back.
You might.
I'm going to say it right now.
I tell you where you can go. Just stop. I mean, sometimes you just need to stop and,
right.
just let it go and leave
right.
it.
Right. Is it going to be Sydney's husband? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
Is it going to be Sydney at one point?
No. Yeah. You know how upset the core friend, the fans will be if Sydney's the main killer? You know what I'm saying? They're never going to forgive this franchise if right. they do that. Now, all to give props to 5 is the director and the writer, which were not Wes Craven nor Kevin Williamson, they studied, and you would not know the difference. Like, if it wasn't, you know, to the blind fan that doesn't know anything, that watches all of them, you would think the same director and the same writer wrote all 5 of them, because that's how well they executed the dialogue, I felt, in 5. The whole requel thing where they break down requels like Vito says, the senior moment. Who's the movie buff from the original?
Okay, Randy Meeks.
Okay, so Randy Meeks.
Sister.
The sisters, his nephew and niece, the twins.
Yeah.
When they broke down the requel thing, that just sounded like Kevin Williams' dialogue, even though it wasn't.
Right.
That's how good it was. So I give them props on that. The kills on this one were brutal. That opening scene where she's doing the thing with the phone and she talks about how she likes like advanced horror and all that.
Yeah.
The way he, you know, they bang on that chick hard. Like, I felt horrible for her. And the fact that she was alive, I thought was a nice twist.
Right.
I just thought the kills and the violence and the carnage was just impeccable. And same thing, again, I give it props, you know, but at the same time, the story is what makes these slashers. People think, oh, slasher fans just want carnage and guts. That's not true. If that was the case, you know, Slumber Party Massacre would be amongst them. You know what I'm saying? Like movies that, you know, but it was the story from Nightmare on Elm Street. It was a story from Friday the 13th. Scream is one of those that has such strong characters that when you lose a Dewey or you lose a Randy, it hurts. You know what I'm saying? Even the chick, the one from part 4, she wasn't around a lot. We didn't have a lot of Vesta, but she was so well written that you liked her. You know what I mean?
Kirby,
yeah.
Played the Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah. So right. That's the thing with this one. They're all quality movies.
I mean, I don't think you can compare Scream to Friday the 13th. I think Scream's a far better quality of spirit films.
No, I'm talking about Scream's are all quality.
Yeah.
All 5 of them, they're all well made. You know what I'm saying? All 5.
I mean, because as much as I like Halloween, Halloween's got some humdingers in there in the franchise.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Halloween 5, I mean, you know, don't really, even get me started.
Really bad characters.
Resurrection, don't even get me started.
Shout out, Buzz and Buzz. All right.
So let's do our rankings.
Yeah.
You want to set it? Or?
Yeah, of course. Started off.
Oh, man. How would I rank these, man? They're overall still enjoyable films, so I would go with... you know, for some reason, I'm going to say... I'm going to go with 4. I'd go 4-1. 4-1... 2, and then the 5th one.
And then 3.
Sorry. 4, 1, 2, 3, and then the 5th one.
Yes. Okay. I got 1, 4, 2, 5, 3. So I got number 1, from the original, because again, in my opinion, you don't need him. And then I got 4, which I thought was excellent.
Yeah.
I go 2 because of that scene. I just think it's so well executed. Again, I'm going to go back to the car scene. I just think it's so well done.
Yeah.
Everything, it's so good. And then 5, I thought the kills were excellent. And then 3 is just 3.
I'm going to go with Corey. My order is the same. 4, 1, 2, 3, 5. As it stands now, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you wanted to mention.
Yeah. So if you guys want, there's a franchise for Horror Quarters to review. We have 3 that we're contemplating. A Nightmare on Elm Street to round out the big 3, because we did Halloween, right. We did Friday the 13th. So A Nightmare on Elm Street's on the table, Child's Play's on the table, and then we go into some horror sci-fi with the Alien franchise.
Well, I can roll with you on two of the 3. Yeah, I can't roll with you on Child's Play. I don't know nothing about that franchise. quite frankly, I'm not going to spend time watching that franchise. Sorry, I just not down with Chucky. So, but I, the Elm Street films I can roll with. The Alien films I'm cool with. Phantasm's another one I can roll with. Phantasm, yeah. Easy.
All right.
Yeah. Well, so, I think Phantasm deserves a look. Phantasm's, is very underrated.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll see what we can get to, but I'm gonna have to close this out now.
Okay. All right.
Hey, thanks, fellas, for
always
coming out again.
Thank you, Mike, and everybody. Have a good night.
Thanks for watching.